of its trails and what is astir in them, as one lover of it can give to another. The Land of Little Rain. East, away from the Sierras, south from Panamint and Amargosa, east and south, many an uncounted mile, is the country of lost borders. Ute, Paiute, Mojave, and Shoshone inhabit its frontiers, and as far into the heart of it as a man dare go. Not the law, but the land sets the limit. Desert is the name it wears upon the maps, but the Indians is the better word. Desert is a loose term, to indicate land that supports no man. Whether the land can be bitted and broken to that purpose is not proven. Void of life it never is, however dry the air and villainous the soil. This is the nature of that country. There are hills rounded, blunt, burned, squeezed up out of chaos, chrome and vermilion painted, aspiring to the snow line. Between the hills lie high-level-looking plains, full of intolerable sun glare, or narrow valleys drowned in a blue haze. The hill surface is streaked with ash drift and black, unweathered lava flows. After rains, water accumulates in the hollows of small closed valleys and, evaporating, leaves hard, dry levels of pure desertness that get the local name of dry lakes. Where the mountains are steep and the rain's heavy, the pool is never quite dry, but dark and bitter, rimmed about with the efflorescence of alkaline deposits. A thin crust of it lies along the marsh over the vegetating area, which has neither beauty nor freshness. In the broad wastes open to the wind, the sand drifts in hummocks about the stubby shrubs, and between them the soil shows saline traces. The sculpture of the hills here is more wind than waterwork, though the quick storms do sometimes scar them past many a year's redeeming. In all the western desert edges, there are essays in miniature at the famed, terrible Grand Canyon, to which, if you keep on long enough in this country, you will come at last. Since this is a hill country, one expects to find springs, but not to depend upon them. For when found, they are often brackish and unwholesome, or maddening slow dribbles in the thirsty soil. Here you find the hot sink of Death Valley, or high-rolling districts where the air has always a tang of frost. Here are the long, heavy winds and breathless calms on the tilted mesas, where dust devils dance, whirling up into a wide, pale sky. Here, you have no rain when all the earth cries for it, or quick downpours called cloudbursts for violence. A land of lost rivers, with little in it to love, yet a land that once visited must be come back to inevitably. If it were not so, there would be little told of it. This is the country of three seasons. From June on to November, it lies hot, still, and unbearable, sick with violent, unrelieving storms. Then, on until April, chill, quiescent, drinking its scant rain and scanter snows. From April to the hot season, again, blossoming, radiant, and seductive. These months are only approximate. Later or earlier, the rain-laden wind may drift up the water gate of the Colorado from the Gulf, and the land sets its seasons by the rain. The desert floras shame us with their cheerful adaptations to the seasonal limitations. Their whole duty is to flower and fruit, and they do it hardly or with tropical luxuriance, as the rain admits. It is recorded in the report of the Death Valley Expedition that after a year of abundant rains, on the Colorado desert was found a specimen of amaranthus 10 feet high. A year later, the same species in the same place matured in the drought at 4 inches. One hopes the land may breed like qualities in her human offspring, not tritely to try, but to do. Seldom does the desert herb attain the full stature of the type. Extreme aridity and extreme altitude have the same dwarfing effect, so that we find in the High Sierras and in Death Valley related species in miniature that reach a comely growth in mean temperatures. Very fertile are the desert plants in expedient.